CliffCentral.com.
It is Wednesday, the 6th of May. Good morning, everybody. What's happening? All right. We got Gord, we got Sia, we got Bulelo, we got you. We got a full complement this morning, and Fundo's running things in the studio. And how's it going there, Gordo? We haven't spoken to you in a week. What's news?
I'm too grumpy for you to call it a compliment. We've got a full insult of people on the show.
Why are you grumpy?
Ooh. No, because it's too damn early in the morning. I'm trying to train Blackie Chan to do my slots for me.
All right.
She can get up and set everything up, and I can just broadcast from bed.
Just talk to us all like Blackie Chan for a second and tell us that you're going to try and train us to be up early so we can do the show for you.
Blackie Chan, come and show the people how to do the podcast. Blackie Chan, show them your podcasting capabilities. Come, Blackie Chan. Don't be camera shy. We talked about this.
No, she's off camera and she's not interested. Not very cooperative. She says, her agent says that if we call it the Blackie Chan Morning Show with humans, then she'd be willing.
It is a wonder that Katz hasn't sliced your ear off.
Well, she certainly fucking tried.
Hey, guys, did you see what Elon Musk has called his newest child? He's now got about, I don't know, 25 of these kids.
Elon Musk likes to bone, bro, let's face it.
How do you pronounce that name?
I don't know. Here it is. I mean, let me just try and read it to you. And I'm starting to think he is a raving lunatic. And I mean, I've liked the guy for a long time because he's...
Well, that wasn't really in doubt. I mean, I like him too, but he's obviously a raving lunatic.
I mean, like a bad kind of lunatic as opposed to a good one. You know, like the good kind of lunatics, the ones who do amazing things and forge us ahead as a race and a species.
He's that kind.
He is that kind, undoubtedly. But I'm starting to think there's a bit of the other kind creeping in as well.
What did he name his flighty?
Billionaire entrepreneur Elon Musk and Canadian singer Grimes. That's who he fathered a child with.
He boned a chick called Grimes. I'm immediately Googling this.
In a relationship for more than 2 years. And the billionaire entrepreneur shared the news of his latest newborn son, their first child together. In a conversation on Twitter, he shared the news, posting a picture of him holding the little boy and saying in a separate message, "Mom and baby, all good." She's kind of weird. She looks like a grungy.
She is strange looking.
Mm.
Let's say her name Grimes is befitting.
Right. He's 48 years old. The kid's name is X, as in the letter X, then AE, as in Encyclopaedia. AE, right. The old conjoined A and E, and then A12.
A12.
Yeah, I don't know if that's actually the name. We have to wait for confirmation, but he might have just been messing with people. And he of course was in the news last week for a series of bizarre tweets that saw $13 billion wiped off Tesla's share price. However, they jumped back up a few days later, so no harm done.
Yeah, that often happens, though. People people react to Tesla stocks based on what he's like tweeted, but it always – the equilibrium comes back. It doesn't
– Yeah. And he
has to be joking.
So Grimes is 32. She'd been keeping fans – she has fans – updated on social media throughout pregnancy, and in February revealed she had suffered complications, but she said she's going to let this child choose its own gender.
Oh, God, of course she is.
It's never a good sign. She has not yet posted about the baby's birth. South African-born Musk is one of the world's most powerful and rich men and has 5 children with his first wife, Canadian author Justine Wilson. So this is his 6th.
And he likes them Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got a lot of kids, man. 6 kids.
Some people have done some research, and they suspect that AE letter...
Yeah.
Or writing could possibly be derived from some Nordic line and is actually pronounced as ash.
Yeah, it's not the letters A and E. It's that same symbol that Tool's Anima album uses on their cover. Like it's a AE combined. I don't know what it is. I've seen it before, but it's like a single letter that's the bastard child of an A and an E.
Mm.
But then it still wouldn't make sense. It would be X, which is what?
I can't believe we're all talking about a child that none of us have met or care about, and we don't know the parents personally.
But it sounds to me like it's got to be some sci-fi reference or the name of a distant planet or star. Maybe. because that's like some sci-fi shit, and he's like a ginormous sci-fi nerd.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, that seems to me like it has to be the name of some like planetary system or distant star or planet, some theoretically habitable planet. If I were Elon, I'd name my kid after something cool in space.
Yeah. I don't know. I just thought I'd throw that in there because you might be really interested in.
Well, good for Elon. He can bone whoever he wants, as far as I'm concerned. So, I mean, consensually, of course.
And I like Elon as such a normal name either, right?
It's a very cool name.
You like it?
Listen, rather his genes than most of the world's genes being passed on, right?
Guys, speaking of.
I wasn't really thinking in terms of eugenics. More just like the O's got some money. He's got some bank. He's famous. Someone, he wants to bone Grimes and have lots of kids. Why not? He can afford it.
Someone emailed me last week, Mbulelo, to say that your obsession with genes is slightly concerning. He also said this person who was criticizing you, and I wish I had the email here, but they basically said you keep on saying geneticists are the people to refer to when it comes to virology, and they're not. They're not useful at all in
They are actually useful in the scope, so not just geneticists.
No, they say you're putting too much emphasis on geneticists. They are not smart at viruses.
We got all show for me to run through the different type of scientists.
Well, ooh. I mean, for a start, for a start, geneticists deal with the basic structure DNA. Viruses are made of RNA. Slightly different structure, and you know the base pairs are different. And they said that this is not helpful because these things are not. It's just like some people say that epidemiologists aren't even useful on this because they're actually just mathematicians.
Geneticists are more going to like figure out why you've got that like sixth toe, or why you have like. I don't know.
Science doesn't operate in silos like that.
Yeah, basically people are saying you're just a know-it-all douchebag.
I think that you should, on your next episode of Smarter Than Everyone with Mbulelo, you should go through this. You should address this directly in one of your three-hour podcasts.
Yeah. But sure. don't drag all the rest of us in, if you don't mind.
I know things, you know shit. I am great and you're a dick. It's smarter than you with Mbulelo. Welcome to the show. Smarter than you with Mbulelo. And it's time.
We've got a theme tune.
I know lots and you know dick. Sit down and we'll go through it quick. It's smarter than you with Mbulelo.
Mbulelo, I appreciate what you have to say. Thank you.
No, you don't. You're the one who doesn't.
Yeah, the email is probably
because it just flies over my head.
We can have a show called Smarter Than You with Mbulelo, and then we can have a show with Passive Aggressive with Sia.
Yeah. Just after Smarter Than You with Mbulelo, it can be, I don't really care about all of what just happened with Sia.
But I'm going to pretend I care because I want you to think I'm a nice person.
Politely passive aggressive with Sia.
Yeah. That's how you are.
Light up's changing.
Can we put the guns down this morning and stop firing now?
No, it's hilarious. This is what people are really like. And you know what? The lockdown is going to make a lot of people's real character come out. So,
having a chat, knowing a lot, having more facts than the facts that you've got, smarter than you with Mbulelo.
I like it. I like it.
Okay, that's a good start to my morning. How about you?
Do you see the episode coming out tomorrow?
Listen, quick word of warning. I don't know if he's tweeted anything since last night, but just from the news point of view, because I know we'll get to the headlines later on, but Tito Mboweni's been tweeting up a storm, and it's very concerning because the things that he's saying, you know, Tito Mboweni is one of the few people in the cabinet who understands economics. He was one of the people who was anti the tobacco and liquor ban because he knows what it costs us. and how he could use those syntaxes to pay for all these exorbitant social programs, which have just been announced by Cyril. And he was tweeting last night. So Tito Mboweni, this is what he said. I mean, eventually I went to sleep, and it looks like I didn't miss very much. But he said these two things last night. I've often asked myself the question, what is the art of politics? The path to power and how to stay in power and lead your people correctly, corruption-free? Why do people want to be in power, actually? Why? It is a poorly paying, thankless, and abusive job.
Sounds terribly paying.
No, but that's from the Minister of Finance. Now, if your Minister of Finance is saying things like that, you kind of need to be a little bit nervous, I would think. And these sorts of things can have an effect on the market. He also said, not so long ago, this is 7 hours ago, I was a free man, no political constraints. Then I agreed voluntarily to join government. Jew, free but not free. You have to obey a majority collective decision. Sometimes it feels like swallowing a rock. Yep. And then his last tweet was, if you don't want to swallow rocks, stay out of politics. Interesting, huh?
So basically some shit's happening that he's not a fan of.
He's not keen on what's going on. There's
something shit's going in the down. Pipeline, and he just wants to be on record up front saying some bullshit's about to happen. I'm not allowed to say specifically what it is, but when it happens, y'all must know there's some bullshit.
And so, this is at like 11 p.m.
I wonder what's going on over there. We're
eating a rock.
Yeah, eating a rock.
Having a vote, having a rock for straight down my throat. It's politics with Tito Mboweni.
I think we're going to have a theme song for everything today. This is so great.
Everything needs a theme song.
Hey, do you think, because Gord, I know you philosophize about these things, and you do too, Mbolelo. Do you think that there's one thing which people haven't mentioned yet, which we might benefit from in this lockdown? I've thought of one. Just last night, one came to me.
You mean during the lockdown or after, as a result of post-lockdown, should that ever actually be a thing?
Mine is philosophical. Do you want me to go first and then you guys can go?
That's an example.
You could bring up anything. You could say, oh, Tupperware is going to become a big thing again. I could, you know, I don't know. So mine is, this is going to be the worst argument for statism ever. Give me a minute because I know that sounds boring. But once the state has distributed food parcels and they've run out of money and they stop paying social grants because they've run out of money and people are tired of lining up in 4-kilometer queues and ordinary South African citizens can't get jobs and the market is not great, which is all going to happen. This is all a fact, okay? When all that happens, then people are going to look at their lives and they're going to go, actually, I do trust the free market more, and I do want to fend for myself, and I can't trust government. Trust of governments will be at an all-time low within about a year or so after this coronavirus. An all-time low, and I mean at an all-time low in human history low, because governments all over the world are doing this stuff. It's not just our government. You know, minus the SASSA grants, people are giving relief to businesses. They're giving payment holidays. But all of that comes at a cost. Someone has to pay. And eventually people are going to look at this and go, you know what? Government is worse than ever. They made us take this shutdown, this lockdown. They made us pause our businesses and stop our businesses and shut down our businesses. They told us they'd look after us, but they can't, like a derelict parent. So now I don't trust them anymore. And what's going to happen is people are going to rally towards individualism, the free market.
Yeah, people are not organized enough. They don't have enough context. They're going to argue about irrelevant shit on Facebook. They're going to make it a fight about race. They're going to say that the people who are going to Mars should be feeding everyone, like as if it's the same people. As if, like, my one friend who I actually adore and who's not an unintelligent person, she's just not very politically aware, was like, how can they still be building 5G towers? Not as if to suggest the 5G towers are causing the virus, but like, why is this even a discussion about 5G? They should stop building the towers and feed everyone instead. It's like, it's not the same bunch of money. It's not the same, the build telecoms infrastructure money and the use our tax billions to feed everyone money are different people with different money. People aren't going to put two and two together and go, ah, yes, well, this whole thing was a debacle from
good people. You know what the one thing is that even poor people are very sharp about? Is their money. They know how much they've got. They know how much they spend.
Politicians are just going to say, we're the guys to fix the problem now. No one's going to go, but you are the guys who caused the problem.
That's what they're doing now, and people are not going to believe them then. I think that it has a way of making people very sensible. Anyway, I don't want to have a debate about it, but I think that's what I think is going to happen. I mean, a friend of mine called me yesterday because I sent a message and said, hey, how are you doing? And he said to me, I've just been fired by my boss.
Oh.
And he's got two kids and a wife. And he is now staring down no check at the end of this month.
I got to get a check at the end of this month. Surely them's the rules. Like the following month's a screw up.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, what's the date's the 6th? Maybe, you know, maybe he gets this month and that's it.
I mean, COVID aside, that's always been my thing with like how hard it is to finance stuff when you self-employed. It's like, okay, fine. Like Dave with the salary can be told, hey, dude, sorry, you're fired. And then he gets his next paycheck. Yep. Whereas all 12 of my regular clients can in the same month, all just decide independently to get rid of me. And like the likelihood of that is lower. But the difference between me, self-employed, and Dave's salary is that he's got one paycheck assured to him. Like, you want to finance me something for 3 million rand? Or you really prefer Dave because of that one extra paycheck that he can assure you of? I just find the whole thing, like, people, the salaries and employment and that kind of thing, it's great and I'm not knocking it, but like, it's an illusion of financial security. The self-employed person with 12 clients that give him regular work might actually be less vulnerable to sudden loss of income. I say that having been briefed in about a third of a month's worth of income in 2 months of work. So it's a shit show.
No.
But I also think those people who think their salaries are this like golden cushy safety net are going to get a wake up from that. Salaries are overrated.
100%. But I felt so sorry for this guy because you could hear he was like, oh God, now I've got to find some way to look after.
And no one's hiring right now.
Oh, there's no way. He either has to start his own thing or, you know,
find access to some long line of credit, which will be yoked around his neck for a long time. Yeah, this shit is gonna, it's gonna be more commonplace. It's gonna become increasingly common and it's gonna all stop being fun and games very soon, this lockdown draw.
Bulelo, you've got a good reason for us to celebrate this whole COVID-19 pandemic is they cancelled Love Island and you're hoping that this will result in the cancellation of other horrible shows from TV.
Oh, every cloud.
Every cloud has a silver lining. Have
you seen that show? If you haven't been to the UK, I don't know if there's an American version.
There is an American version.
And they just put a whole lot of, like, I use air quotes, attractive young British people on an island and then watch who bones who.
Let me finish that sentence off properly because you've left something out. They put the only attractive Brits they can find.
Mm.
On this island. Wow. Those are all the British people they could find who
so
are
there's
not.
Four of them and they go on an island.
Yeah. It's all the British people who are not hideous. All the British people are not hideous to behold are then put on an island.
They perform dental surgery on 10 British people. No, but I'm being serious, Ubi. Like, I know I've heard it discussed. I know it's got something to do with like young loose people being slapped. Like, there's dating and sex and there's an island. But what actually is the, I mean, that's all I know. I've put two and two together.
Actually,
right?
Your expert on this is probably Sia, because I remember when we were in England 2 years ago, Sia, you were watching the show. You're the only one who's actually watched.
It's all of these pretty people, thin, you know, blonde head, long head. They put into this gorgeous villa.
Are they all Aryan children of the Nazi race? No, don't they have any brown people?
No, they got some brown people, and they've got some people with non-blonde hair. See, I don't make it sound like
just like
it sound
roll
like the
with
third.
Me on this one,
makes it sound like the Third Reich.
Yeah.
It will be the Fourth Reich now.
Hitler Youth burning on an island. Hitler Youth, who's going to get pregnant? Anyway, so it's not Hitler Youth. Carry on, please.
No, it is not. And the whole premise is you're watching these relationship forms and these alliances forms as there are also challenges in the house. And, you know, just people, when they're bored, locked up together, there's bound to be drama. And that's the whole premise
of the
show.
Isn't the thing...
They compete as teams.
No, isn't the thing with Love Island is that you're not allowed to have sexual interaction with someone unless there's like a... There's a wild card night or something where you can bone, but the rest of the time you can't. Or someone explained it to me. I honestly have never seen.
There's
the show
one like that on Netflix where like the whole purpose is to put them into temptation's way,
maybe,
and then they're not allowed to bone.
Yeah, maybe,
but that's
maybe
a different
that's
one. You know the one I'm talking about here? It's new. It's on Netflix, and it's like the sexiest people in the world on an island, and all they have to do is not bone. And anytime they like kiss each other or hoofle or bone, they lose points for their team. And like the people
who hot their handle.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's something like that. It's on Netflix. It's new, and it's apparently the latest thing in trashy TV.
Why does this rile you up so much, though, Mbulal?
Have you seen the show?
No. Yes, you damn well have.
If you're unhappy, then don't watch it.
No, but I mean, if people have nothing else to watch, we know what they'll do. We've watched the whole of Netflix. Love Island's on. I'll watch anything. I'm eating Doritos on the couch.
But you're also the person,
who
subscribes by the thinking that people shouldn't be trusted with anything.
I totally agree. So don't give them the option to watch Love Island.
You'd be such a monstrous dictator. I fear for the world if you ever gain political power.
Bulilo. What's that? On the horizon, coming to save the day, it's Captain No Fun. Don't worry, children. There's too much fun going on here. Let me put an end to it. Give me my water hose of power. Stop the fun. Captain No Fun to the rescue.
Yes, you go. You don't get to decide what is interesting and fun. I do, and you're all going.
You must read these scientific books so that you can lose in debates to me about what's in them.
And still, not.
I think if it were up to Mulelo, we'd all be watching William Smith from the time we wake up to dinner time.
You mean
I loved William Smith.
You mean the guy on the TV?
Because he always had so much ink on his fingers. Yeah. And he was always against that really bad vinyl backdrop of Neisner. And, like, didn't even make art like it was real. There was still the printing in the corner. Like, this is a picture of Neisner. Like, it was still like it was curled up in the corners. And he just would just, by the end of it, he would just be a mess of ink, like, all over his hands. And you can see he was like the only oak having fun. He's like, this is such a jaw. I'm doing maths on TV. Isn't this the most fun? And like kids are trying to follow. Like, you're just making me realize how horribly out of my depth I am. Except Umbi, who would write letters of complaint that the maths on it was too simple.
All right.
Same.
You don't have anything you think is going to be interesting and good that comes out of this?
Me. Yeah. I think that I don't know. The problem with banality is that it's banality. So that to say that it will end, like the meaningless and mindless set working hours that make office life so difficult for so many people, where everybody starts work between 8 and 9 and everybody has to be in different places all at the same time for no reason, except that someone on the senior asshole management team likes to have meetings at 9 a.m. People can coordinate their lives around when their kids have to be at school and that kind of stuff. And just as long as they can become more outcome and performance orientated, and there can be little periods in the middle of the day where everyone that needs to have meetings can have them. So from 11 till 3, we can go to the office if we need to, and everyone else can work where they need to. You know, like if you're a building oak and you've got to be on site, that's one thing. But to tell an entire workforce you all have to be in the same big ass room, distracting, irritating, and infecting each other with illnesses from 9 until 5 is something that drives me absolutely insane. Like, traffic is the result of working hours that are arbitrary and suit very few people. And hey, if you want to work from 9 till 5, cool, you can.
Sure, but
people who don't want to don't have to. And if there needs to be a meeting where everyone sits together in the boardroom, also fine. The hours where that's allowed is 11 till 3. Do that as much as you want, but don't make me sit at my desk at a time that requires me being in traffic for an hour and a half to drive for 10 kilometers because it's stupid. Fucking useless and it's totally pointless and it's a relic of a time when – I don't even know, like it's pre-email when that used to make sense.
Yeah, the Industrial Revolution.
This is like something that hasn't made sense for 15 years. And now with video calling and all the rest, like as long as we have internet infrastructure, there is no good argument.
But you know what I love about the way you've explained it is that you're not upset at all.
I've hated it forever, dude. One of the main reasons I like to work for myself is because office hours just don't suit me. And like I absolutely cannot stand the fact that like I've got to be – I'm considered late if I stroll in at 9:45. But in my industry in advertising, you're considered a slacker if you leave at 5. So given that I never leave before 6 and sometimes I'm at the office until 8, I'll come in whatever time suits me. Thank you very much. And to be fair, I've almost never been reprimanded about this. It's just that like stinky eyeball you get when you roll in at 10. It's like, well, what's wrong with rolling in at 10? I waited until 9:45 to leave for work, did some shit in the morning, and didn't sit in mindless traffic for an hour to drive from Douglasdale to Bryanston. I hate office hours. I find them oppressive and stupid. And I think it's going to be very hard to justify why people have to be in the office at 8 or 9 from going forward.
It's still it's very hard for me to discern if you like them or you don't, office hours. It's after that.
I love them. It's traffic that I don't like.
All right. I had the most exciting outing yesterday. I found out that hardware stores are open.
Nice. And so are nursery, by the way. My friend's nursery opened. I'm so happy for them.
So that means I went out yesterday. I've never been so excited. And then I got to the hardware store and realized half the things I wanted to buy, they still can't sell.
Oh, shit. Like what?
Like you can't buy things that are decorative, or you can buy the emergency stuff. So you could buy like light bulbs, and you could buy electrical stuff, and you could buy paint. And
okay, well, what weren't you able to buy? That's a better way to start.
There are a few things. Like I in this particular hardware store that I went to, there were areas that were just cordoned off.
And well, what was on Gareth's hardware list that you didn't get?
Well, it's really boring stuff that I wanted to fix around the house, you know, and I couldn't buy some of that stuff. So I'll get to you in a second because there's a story here. So then I got into the car. I left that place without buying anything. Went to a much smaller hardware store, which I always prefer doing because you support the small guy, right? Up the road from my house. And I thought, this is not one of those big warehouse franchise hardware stores. And I bought what I needed. There's like a curtain rod and some hooks and some nails and some screws and just like dumb stuff that I probably could have got if I looked hard enough in the other one, some of the things anyway. But there were certainly areas that were cordoned off, not in the small store. You could do what you needed there. So, I mean, maybe that's one of the things that will come out of this, is we'll support our own, you know, kind of local businesses a little more.
Well, I'm excited because the nursery that I go to, Montrose Nursery in Sandton, which is owned and operated by a family I've known my whole life and who I love. But I mean, aside from my bias because I know them, it's also just the most loveliest place ever. It's like such a beautiful place to go and hang out. And it's just one of these last little bastions of like old school, beautiful greenery in the middle of Sandton. Cause I grew up when Sandton was like sort of a upper middle class suburban area. It was where all your friends lived and everyone had swimming pools, and it was utopian. And it's just like slowly but surely more of the houses have become complexes and then shopping centers and office parks. And that's fine. It's progress. I get it. But like this one little place that reminds me of playing as a kid there. And, I bought all the things necessary to start a veggie garden, which I had like no. It was from scratch. I started it just at the beginning of all of this. I got in like the day before they shut everything down. I went and bought like a proper starter pack of all the shit you need for a veggie garden. Some of my stuff didn't come up. Some of my stuff did. I've got peas going. I've got broccoli. But I realized like I didn't buy potting soil. I bought a lot of compost. And you can't, when your beds are like shallow, just plant everything in compost. So I need to like top up all my beds, but I need to do it with potting soil. And life has become so mundane that I'm cuck excited for going and buying potting soil and pots for my carrots.
That is exciting. No, that is.
It actually is quite. This gardening thing was a jewel. Like, it was hit and miss. Half of what I planted has come up and looks like it's doing well. Half of it wasn't. And, like, my beds were not deep enough. Or, you know, like, then I need to add 6 inches of soil to most of my beds. And I just, like, I'm excited to go and buy a shitload of soil. And that's an indication of how isolated I've been, that I'm really looking forward to going to my trust nursery for bags of soil.
Shame.
Gord, is this veggie garden to lure in some rabbits?
Well, ultimately, it's going to be to stave off death for myself and my rabbits, yeah. But I also have I explained to Gareth the other night about how, you know, you can't feed your rabbits to a caloric deficit because Gareth's Friesland rabbit is getting quite plump now. And you might think from an apocalyptic farming perspective that plumping up your rabbits is a good thing. Also, like our friend JP the Diet, a couple of people messaged in and explained that farming of rabbits is not – you know, they're not very calorically dense because it's very lean meat. But I also put the argument forward that their pelts, which are so useful in an apocalyptic situation, especially when winter rolls around, makes up for the fact that like a rabbit is not the most nutritious meal. But if you fatten up the rabbit, obviously then you get fattier, higher caloric density in the meat of the rabbit. But that means you've got to be feeding your rabbit extra. And if you're feeding your rabbit so much of your agricultural stock, you end up feeding the rabbit more calories than you get from it. So fattening a rabbit is, in an apocalyptic situation, is a very delicate thing.
I have to break from this rabbit discussion to get to the headlines this morning. So just two or three things you need to know. The ANC has spoken out against the criticism of Nkosi Sanat Dlamini Zuma after she announced, you know, I can't believe they take it this personally when it's her. It makes you think there's something going on that isn't or is. Because they suddenly rally to her support. And, of course, one of the people who said that it's all about, you know, because she's a woman and she doesn't sound like Naledi Pandor. That's why people are going to her. If you're a supporter of Nkosi Sanat Dlamini Zuma, you will find a reason to blame the people who are not supporters of Nkosi Sanat Dlamini Zuma for spurious and ridiculous reasons. It couldn't possibly be on the content of this woman's record. Which, by the way, I don't know anything about her character. I've met her twice in my life. I met her when Thabo Mbeki was elected president back in, what was it, 99. And I've otherwise got as much knowledge about her character as you do. But her record is abominable. She was a dreadful minister in every portfolio she's ever occupied. She's universally disliked by the people of South Africa. Her old friend, Thabo Mbeki, I don't think they talk anymore. And her new friends, Ace and Didi Mabuza and so on, are friends of her ex-husband. And her choice in husbands also has to be questioned at this point. But let's keep that off the record for the moment. As a minister, she's been horrible. And everybody who's suddenly worried about how unfair the criticism of Nkosi Sanat is, you got to ask, why are they defending her? Maybe because she's on the rise and they're all feathering their nests. That's the only explanation that would seem to be cogent at this point. Anyway, Ramaphosa is even backing her after she faced backlash for announcing the continued ban on tobacco products. The president says the decision was made collectively. He initially said tobacco would be sold at level 4, but that decision was later revoked. Of course, the ANC has said, what do you think they said about it? That if you criticize Nkosi Sanat, you must be A, racist, and B, misogynist.
In which order?
Is there a C option for both?
Any order you like. But here's the thing.
Well, it depends on what you've criticized.
I have to tell you, like, racist and misogynist as defenses.
Preemptive defenses, right?
Yeah.
Like you haven't yet broken all the windows with your cricket ball, but like in case that does happen, you're racist and misogynist for getting upset about it. Like she may at some future point fail at something. We don't know what yet, but when she does, remember being upset about it makes you racist.
I don't think you are an intellectually honest person, and I think you are morally bankrupt if you call other people racist or misogynist without observing the content of their criticism.
Also, it's like, why is it that, like,
makes you a racist
the argument is not that, like, if you ever criticize the measurably failed performance of a female human or a measurably failed performance of a human of any particular ethnicity, that your criticism of said measurable failure of job, whatever it may be, suddenly becomes about gender or ethnicity. It's like, it's a preemptive cop out. It's like me going, anytime a listener doesn't enjoy me or says that Gordok never shuts up or interrupts Gareth too much or is a loudmouth, opinionated puss, because we get those listeners, that person is just anti-fat people. It's like, come on, mate. You know, like, let me just rather take it on the chin, metaphorically speaking, and stand on my own too. I'd rather win on my own merit and lose on my own merit.
No, but you're not. You see, the people who say, "Ah, you're racist and misogynist," very seldom are there grounds for those criticisms.
And, or have they looked into the real thing? Like,
and most often the people alleging that are not people who could be evaluated on their merits anyway. And I think we've said enough. But good luck in Kwasasana. I hope it goes really well for you, because if I don't say that, I must be a racist and a misogynist. So you're great. You're amazing. Just keep doing the great work that you've done that nobody seems to be able to have a record of. Tito Mboweni has cited Swiss International Air as a pointer for SAA's future. Now, we were just talking about Tito earlier, who was sending out these bizarre tweets just around midnight last night, which makes me think he might be resigning. I hope not. But he told Parliament Standing and Select Committees.
You like Tito, eh?
I do. I think he's a smart guy, and I don't think he's got a bad... again, this is a character assessment. I do know Tito as opposed to not knowing Nkosasana, but I also think his job as a finance minister, he's done as honestly as any finance minister ever has, maybe a bit more honestly. He's popular and unpopular in his own party, so politically he is certainly a lot less he's less easy to read than... If you say someone is an Nkosasana Dlamini supporter, then there's a way to read that there isn't.
So you think being a little bit divisive within the party indicates a backbone?
Not necessarily divisive, but he is open to both sides' point of view. So I wouldn't say that's divisive. I would say that that's open-minded.
Yeah. He's trapped because he's not a politician. And, you know, true leadership isn't about being popular. Politics is.
Well,
so he's trapped. He's all about being competent.
So would it be safe to say, GC, that part of your point just
that's
now
a very
is
good
the fact that, like, if a person is not having conflict with anyone, they're not really standing for anything. Also, yeah. I agree with Umbi's point as well.
Yeah.
Politics is very much a popularity contest.
I think,
and there's I'll never forget again, without anybody trying to retrofit this to mean that I now love Donald Trump, I'll never forget the sort of light bulb moment that happened when Gareth explained that, like, is the criteria for how the president's doing how likable he's been in his term so far, or how the success metrics for the economy, et cetera, are doing? Is like, how well did a president do equal how much everyone loved him, or how much shit he got done? Because I always loved and will always love Obama, but on paper, his report card might not have been great. Whereas Trump's the biggest durse in the world. And yet prior to the mismanagement of COVID, was doing pretty damn well as a president. And that stuck in my head. Like, not, you know, I separate it now from the Trump Obama topic, but like, I look at these things differently now, you know, like, it is a popularity contest where how you do at your job means nothing a lot of the time.
You're both hinting at precisely what I was trying to articulate, but you did it better. So he's been talking about the airline and he's been saying he's going to think about creating in the Department of Public Enterprises a new national carrier that's owned publicly and privately and can serve South Africa's trade connections. But I don't know if you saw yesterday that Comair have gone into business rescue. So
yeah,
if you want to fly in South Africa somewhere in the next year, forget about it. There's going to be no one to fly you around. All of our airlines have fallen apart. All of them have run out of money. So, you know, Tito, this may be this may be you just trying to put a positive spin on things, but airlines are in trouble the world over, and especially airlines run by the ANC do not have a great record of being able to keep their heads above water. So hold this on. Is a pipe dream.
Comair, don't they own Kulula?
So yeah.
That's right. So you can't, basically you can't fly.
Isn't Comair operated by British Airways? Everybody's just in bed with everybody. This is way better than Love Island.
Comair is operated by British Airways, but Comair have gone into business rescue. This is news from yesterday. So I'm sorry. The other thing that we heard yesterday is Caxton Media.
They're
liquidating their magazine division.
It's a real bummer, man. But like, you know, I feel terribly for those people who are ring fenced into that job by their expertise. Those people who've made magazines so long and are hardened, you know, like leather backed magazine people. I saw it happening with magazines when I was at FHM. I knew that the industry, like that particular title, was steadily rolling downhill, and like I saw that happening. I saw that the print department at Media 24 was being mismanaged and was also feeling the effects of a global downturn on print that was only going to continue. And I kind of got out largely just because I was bored of making FHM magazine. It was a wonderful time, and I'd done it for 8 years, and I just saw all my best friends in that and the best people sort of leave and be slowly but surely replaced by lesser. So I got out kind of while there was time, is the short version of what I was trying to say there. And then I saw the magazine a few years later, you know, mercy killed about 3 or 4 years later than it should have been. And I kind of went through the emotions of seeing these magazines that I care about and titles that I was fond of with people working in them that I cared about. And I've seen how hard it is for some people who were senior in the magazine world to then go into advertising or other forms of media and be like quite sort of lower to middling and have to readjust their
basically
career.
Basically, everything you've said in the last sort of 2.5 minutes is I'm sorry.
Well, no, I'm just saying it's a,
I'm trying to move on to the headlines. I could give a
shit. I think it really sucks for people who are very good at that and have dedicated their professional lives to being good at it. And, you know, making magazines it's an art form, and it's a thing that people are really passionate about. So it's one thing to lose your job. It's another thing to lose your industry.
Government-backed hackers are attacking healthcare and research institutions in an effort to steal valuable information about efforts to contain the new coronavirus outbreak. In a statement, Britain's National Cybersecurity Center and the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency said the hackers had targeted pharmaceutical companies, research organizations, and local government. Now, this may be a story or may not, but there's another story. This guy Ferguson, who is the dude from Imperial College who put out the first major scare survey that got all the governments in the world shit scared of coronavirus. This guy, Ferguson, it turns out his models were completely off the target. Completely. He's the one
who said
millions of people are going to die. He projected that the death rate would be something like 2-4%. He turns out to have been wrong on every count. And people have been asking, professionals in medicine, in science, in mathematics, have been saying to him, please reveal your model to us. Give us the source so that we can verify how you got to these numbers, because he's being proven wrong in every country in the world. And he's roundly refused to do this. So the guy who started the panic, the man who cried wolf, is now not allowing people to look in. And it turns out he's done lots of dodgy research before this, all of which has also turned out to be completely and wholly unfounded. He was caught yesterday trying to have sex with his married lover, obviously in secret, and he broke coronavirus lockdown rules in Britain.
Ooh, shit, he broke that Roro lockdown.
Yeah, so he's not only a shitty scientist who refuses to let people see his work and how he got to those conclusions, but he's also a shitty person who believes the rules don't apply to him. So fuck you, Neil Ferguson.
Yeah, like that Scottish health minister lady that was one of the people calling for the lockdown and then went and visited her family at their second home in the countryside. Look, I broke lockdown protocol recently, and you know, I've been very pro-lockdown. I don't think I'm above the law. I don't think I'm special. I have, however, have broken many laws in my life. And in this particular case, I decided to break the speed limit because I weighed up the pros and cons. And I was like, if I don't get a haircut, I'm going to kill myself. I can't stand this mop of floppy British thin stringy greasy hair. Like the longer my hair gets, the more like it takes a shorter and shorter period of time for it to just become sort of greasy. And so my one mate has got hair clippers. I couldn't find. I went to Clicks. I went to Dis-Chem. I went to my local pharmacy. Hair clippers are apparently not
essential.
No, they're allowed to be sold, but they're sold out, and no one can get any. Okay. And so they said if you look hard enough, you'll find them. But I just went to my mate's house, and I swung past there, and I dropped off some cigarettes because I also had a friend who had some cigarettes that they were willing to give me. Long story, I have a mate who had some cigarettes, and he said I could buy them. I don't even smoke, but one of my friends was literally suicidal, and so I was cool. I've got a mate who can get some cigarettes. So I went and picked up the cigarettes, broke the law, went past my buddy's house. I said hello to him. And he buzzed my hair on a 4 with clippers. It looks absolutely atrocious, but at least it's not irritating the shit out of me all day. And then I went home and I said sorry. I don't feel like
Who did you say sorry to?
I just said sorry to sort of, you know, after 8 weeks entirely by myself, I needed a haircut and I was not prepared to live in. I broke the law knowingly and voluntarily.
Do you realize that today's 40 days of lockdown, the amount of time that the Jews spent in the desert?
They only spent 40 days in the desert. No, I thought it was 40 years.
40 years. But I think wasn't it the flood of Noah that was 40 days and 40 nights?
Oh, you mean that time that some oak built a wooden boat and put two of every animal on earth in it to prepare for a...
You've outlasted Noah.
This is so bad. I've literally had to stop Googling.
I'm like one of those isolation hipsters. You guys remember, I did it for about 2 weeks before it became mandatory. And like in that time when it was not legally mandated, I think the kind of level of isolation that I was doing was pretty good. I had like one important work meeting where we had to go to a bootleggers and there were like 4 people in the meeting and I sanitized my hands. So, you know, I was having the least possible practical amount of contact. Yeah. It was a very low amount of contact. And I think that if everybody kind of sort of, if there was a level 3 or level 2 sort of situation similar to how I was living for those 2 weeks, that would be a far more manageable. You know, I didn't never go out. I didn't never see anybody, but I had maybe 3 interactions in 2 weeks with other people. And this whole, you can't get a haircut ever again thing is just not sustainable. When they said it was 3 weeks, I was like, this is a brilliant idea. I'm so glad. When they said it was 2 more weeks, I was like, rough, but okay. Now that it's indefinite, fuck you. I'm swinging past my mate Clayton's place and getting a haircut.
So this is what I was saying in that article of mine. Airbnb have laid off 25% of their workforce as the coronavirus pandemic upends the travel industry and threatens companies' core business. I also saw 25% down in terms of bookings on cruise liners for the next year. That's not surprising.
I've got a friend who started on a cruise liner literally a week before all of this. Oh. She started a dream mission to cruise liner around the world. She did all the training things. She read all the training materials. She got on the boat and like 4 days into her sort of induction period, her initiation period, they were like, cool. This whole process of disembarking the passengers, everybody's quarantined off the coast of Mexico for like weeks. Once it's clear that there's no infections on board, the passengers can get off and all be repatriated. Now the whole crew has been at sea.
But basically she hasn't been able to even pretend that she's able to work on a cruise. I mean, it's like she got in there.
But she's on it and can't really get off. And ultimately they are going to repatriate all the staff. It's this whole process. Like I don't remember all the details, but they're going to somewhere in Asia as a central point, they're going to disembark all the Asian passengers. And from there, they go to their home countries. Then they come back. Then from there, they go to like Australia and disembark.
What is she doing now? Is she back home in South Africa?
She's on the boat. No, she's on the boat. And apparently they're treating them super well. Apparently they, every time. Yeah. And they're also like, it's complicated, but basically there's lots of cruise liner. There's lots of different ships that have got these same problems that belong to the same company. So they kind of slowly but surely taking crew members from one boat and putting them all on another boat. And now this boat's empty.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just getting everybody, like they're doing it as practically as possible. The boats are meeting in different places and then new passengers come on and they're isolated from each other for 2 weeks. And then it's like, hey, meet the new people. And then they go somewhere and disembark a whole lot of people. It's like this round the world mission to get everybody dropped off at like each continent's little hub. And so she's still going to be on there for a while.
I've got interesting news for us. After 7 o'clock, we'll be talking to Jerome Levitz, who's one of the directors at Fluxmans, just about what you can do if you're arrested during lockdown for breaking arrest. You know, they've put more people under arrest during lockdown for breaking lockdown rules than have died of coronavirus. In fact, maybe even than have been infected with coronavirus officially. So you're going to have
jails,
to know this.
Jails are like not a great...
not a great place to be in lockdown.
Not a great place to be in lockdown, no.
Jeez, yeah.
I just want to quickly mention that Curtis Jackson, 50 Cent, has released a book called Hustle Harder, Hustle Smarter, and I'm very keen to get it. I'm actually just busy ordering it now on Audible.
What's happened to 50 Cent? I mean, is he...
He's done very, very well, is what's happened to 50 Cent.
Tell me, give me an update, because I don't know what's going on in his life.
And there was a whole thing where the whole world was having a laugh because he quote-unquote declared bankruptcy. Actually, what happened was that he had one or two businesses that were not doing terribly well and had incurred some debt. And those businesses that he owned were bankruptcy. But he was smart enough to, you know, keep his businesses and he's not necessarily tied to his personal fortune. So he hasn't made some music in a while. I'd be lying if I told you when he last made an album. But his last few albums were not... he's kind of very much of a time, you know. He's like the paragon of like late 90s, early 2000s, overly gangster hip hop. And that's not terribly, terribly popular at the moment. But he invested in Coca-Cola. He was one of the main people behind Vitamin Water. Then that got sold to Coca-Cola. Anyway, it's all going to be in his book, Hustle Harder, Hustle Smarter. But Fiddy is very charismatic. He keeps... sabotaging Ja Rule, which is my favorite thing in the whole world.
Yeah, that I
can. You hear about that thing where he bought out the first five rows of Ja Rule's show.
I love that.
It's
that
the greatest
is,
thing ever. And
that is
really happened.
Epic trolling on
That's
a new level.
That's the fuck you money that I want. Remember we always have had these conversations about what you would do with like lotto money and everyone's shit is so cliched. Like I'd have yachts and I'd party with like, you know, I'd do a Dan Bilzerian. I would do shit like that. I'd put up billboards near my friends' houses about what legends they are or how much cooler I am than them. And I would troll the fuck out of bands I don't like by buying all the front row seats to their show, and then those are just empty. Imagine you get to your show, and the first five rows are completely empty, and there's only one person there whose job is to make sure no one moves into those seats. These seats are taken, but there's no one here. I've been employed to make sure I've got all the tickets. You can't sit there.
Now, I just want to throw in here, because we were asking the question, who owns Comair? So Comair is not operated by BA. Comair franchises the BA brand. BA's parent, IAG, which is Spanish, owns a small stake in Comair, about 11%. So there, in case you want to know how that works. But Comair does own budget airline Kalula. They're the first local airline to file for business rescue as a result of the coronavirus.
But I mean, planes are going nowhere. It's funny because I posted on my Facebook the other day about how some dude wrote an impassioned and long inbox to me, some guy I don't really know, explaining to me that I shouldn't become a pilot. And actually, I was like, thanks. This guy called Oki. And then I spoke to him afterwards and he was a little offended that I made fun of him. And I kind of feel a bit bad about it. It wasn't really my intention, but it did seem like the most random inbox message I've ever got. Like, here are some great reasons, bro, why you should reconsider being a pilot. It's the worst time ever to be a pilot. But actually, it was an unnecessarily long setup for the question, do I think the airlines are going to get through this? And he was like, aviation will always have a place. They're not going to, you know, it's not going to be the end of flying as we know it. But like, how are the airlines going to survive all of this? And it's so tricky because airlines to me, again, not a like expert in this, but airlines to me, it's like, there's an oversaturation of competition, which drives the prices down, which then benefits the consumer, but makes the airlines way more vulnerable. The same reason so many restaurants are struggling now is because price competitiveness has driven their margins down. Apparently in the 80s, the average margins on a restaurant was 25%, and now it's something like 4 to 9%. So these guys are walking such a razor thin tightrope in terms of the margins that they're able to charge that any dent to their cash flow is fatal.
That's a disaster, yeah.
On the one hand, it's better for the airline industry if a few of the weaker, you know, survival of the fittest vibes, if a few of the weaker ones actually get culled off by this, it's better for the others because now they're able to charge a reasonable price for tickets because you don't have Ryanair making anyone whose prices are high seem unreasonable. But then the knock-on effect is that the consumer like me, now that's not a wealthy person but saves up to travel – will have to pay more, and therefore will be able to travel less, so therefore less customers. I'm interested to know from someone who actually knows what they're talking about, like what the implications are going to be for someone like me who likes to go overseas once, and if I'm lucky, twice a year.
You know, just a look overall. I'll tell
you, Sia, you go first. You've hardly been able to squeeze in a word this morning. Go, Sia.
Just a look overall. Virgin Atlantic has also just announced that they will have to cut more than 3,000 people in their company. So
surely they could just fire them. I mean, cutting them seems so dramatic.
Gordon. And then British Airways last week announced that they would have to let go of 12,000 people.
Ooh, 12,000 people. Fuck.
Yeah, this is a major
deal. The short answer is forget about it. Travel is off the agenda for at least the next year, maybe even year and a half. Forget it.
But I mean, there was a time as well when people were saying, when airlines were saying, you know, if you book ahead of like August or September 2020, there's massive specials on the travel. So I don't know if you guys recall, I mentioned I'd managed to win the lottery of ticket purchasing and got some tickets to Rage Against the Machine and Run the Jewels in Prague and Krakow for September.
Not going to happen.
And a bunch of my friends, including my homie Francois van Kirk, who I love, name drop, but like a whole lot of us were going, and Rage Against the Machine and Run the Jewels world tour was the first half of it was American dates, and the second half of it was European dates. So they pretty quickly canceled the American half and said, we'll get back to you on the European half. Now they've canceled the European half and said, people who want to get their money back for their tickets can. People who want to keep their tickets can keep them, and they'll be honored when the shows are rescheduled for some time in 2021. So now me and my friends have decided that we're going to keep our tickets, wait until the new dates are organized and then are announced. And when the new dates are announced, we're going to decide if we personally can afford it, if those new dates suit us. But in the meantime, we're going to hang on to that money. And, you know, like
that's a good philosophy. I mean, if you've got a good deal to just, I would have been in America up to last week.
But let's say these guys make the tour, they reschedule the tour for May 2021. Do you and that happens in like August or September of this year that they announce the new dates. Do you think flying to Europe and back in May 2021 is going to be a much more expensive and much more difficult process for me and my friends, or possibly cheaper as a result of airlines desperately wanting passengers?
I'm not Nostradamus, but one of those two options is likely.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, I'd like to know whether the consumer is going to have bargains for days because the airlines are just desperately trying to put bums in seats, or if suddenly there's going to be very few flights, and if you want a seat on those flights, they're going to cost a fortune.
Probably just due to how the economies of scale work, I'd say the latter is more likely. In other words, it's going to cost you a lot more to be
a lot less choice, fewer flights.
Yes. You've given me my new diplomatic term that I'll use a lot now.
What's that?
One of them.
It's called obfuscation. All right. Yeah. We've got Jerome Levitz from Fluxmans joining us just now. We're going to talk to him about what you can do if you're arrested during lockdown. This is practical and useful information for people. You know, they've arrested thousands of people in South Africa. So we'll find out what you should and shouldn't do. That's next. But I thought, because we were talking about him, and I haven't heard his music for a while, here's something to get you going this morning. I don't know what you heard about me. CliffCentral.com